I don't know what I'm going to do with these notes. I do have a man message, but the Holy Spirit was stirring me during worship. Could I encourage you just to really always enter into worship? Because you'll be amazed how the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you personally. And we only get 30 minutes collectively a week. Focus on Him. Focus on Him and see how blessed you'll become. Is that the message on fathers is for men and women. And let me say this, I'm going to teach a message to men. God's principles are always the same for everybody. And never in any way would I want ladies to feel less important than men, because in God's eyes, He loves us all, values us all equally. Can I get an amen on that? I am going to spend some extra time talking to men today. So don't feel left out, girls. But if there's ever been a time in the American culture where men need to feel validated and valued, it's right now in our culture. Because the spirit of the world and Satan himself has been chipping away in our country for decades manhood. If you're as old as I am, even the way television has changed. I've gone from a time where men, people, period, but men were really valued for being men and who they were, to now most of your television, you watch most of it, will devalue the man every chance it gets through humor and this and that and what have you. So there's been an attack, and there always will be an attack on men, because they're the priest of the household. It's a role. It's a role. The female's role is just as important. But the head of the household is always going to be under attack. And I hope I can get this message out. But guys, I just have to be me and ladies now. Let me tie this together and we'll move forward with some teaching. Is when I'm sitting in here in worship today, and I've been around long enough, I realize that male or female, a high percentage of us did not have a good father. We may have had one that was at home, but really wasn't present. We may have had one that was abusive. We may have had one that was cold. We may have not even had a male figure in our house. Because that's what's happened in our culture, especially in the 50s and the 60s, as the enemy began to chip away at biblical core values, he began to chip away at family core values. And by the way, focus. What has happened in my lifetime is half of our households are better. That's us, say me, doesn't know what it is to have a good father. And as God is touching my heart this morning, my heart breaks for those that don't know. And I thought to myself, what a challenge, even when we worship. Hey, we know God the Father is good, right? We know God the Son Jesus is good, right? We know God the Holy Spirit is good. Can I get an amen? That when we sing about the Father, I realize that except for the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be very difficult even to worship Father God if you haven't had a good dad here. Am I right? Does it make at least make sense to you? So it's my hope this morning not just to teach men, but somehow show you who Dad is. We which is humanly impossible. So I will make a feeble attempt to teach, to show you who Dad is. Because when you really know who Dad is, it'll change your life. Now, some of you, and we're a young church now, 75% of us are under 50. That doesn't include me, so old timers, we could take them all. But I'm thankful when God put in our heart to have a multi-generational, multicultural church, when we recast our vision about half a dozen years ago, you can look around and that's what you see now. God is good. But in the old days, and I caught a tip of these, now when you have a baby, the daddy's in there, right, most of the time? That wasn't always the case. We have older men in here that were sitting in the waiting room or pacing the halls. And that changed even in my time, in my generation. My age and just a nudge older were still waiting in the waiting room to see when mama went in to have that child what it was going to be. And I can remember teasing with Darla. I said, honey, I'm still from the old school. I don't know if I can go in there with you. I said, because I'm going to sit in the waiting room and then they can come out and tell me if it was a boy and a girl. So all that was changing right at that time. And you know what Darla said? No, you're not. So she made I went from horse and buggy man right up to the new stuff. And I was so thankful I didn't miss it. But some of us can relate to that. Well, there's this dad back in the day, and I mean, he's pacing the halls. I wasn't nervous when my first one came. I was extremely nervous. I was even more nervous when I had to take him home. Long as he was at the hospital, I found a peace. But when we loaded him up in the car, I got really nervous. And I stopped at the stoplight and I looked in my rearview mirror and I'm thinking, I don't even know if I can get this little guy home. And the couple that had come to take all the pictures and video are just dying laughing. And I'm going, Darla, they're just laughing their head off at us back there. And I looked up at the stoplight and it was green. This dad was extremely nervous, sweating beads. I mean, he finally sits down, his hands are limp, and out comes the nurse. He stands up. He says, congratulations, sir. It's a girl. And I mean, his chest puffed out. And he said, oh, thank God it's a girl. She'll never have to go through what I just went through. It was difficult. I just lost the ladies. Some of the ladies quit giving me the eye. It's a privilege to be a dad. The greatest honor I've had on this earth, one, is being Darla's husband. But number two, after that, the greatest privilege I've had in my lifetime is to be a father to my kids. It's the truth. It's become difficult to be a man in our culture. Men are being bombarded like never before. And of course, I've had some reflections on my dad. I did have a good father. Now, he was far from perfect, as I am and as you are, but I did have a dad that loved us, provided for us, cared for us. My dad was a very quiet man. His generation was taught to not show emotion. as tenderhearted as my father was, I don't think I ever saw him cry. And he was a real gentle spirit, you know, but I never saw him cry. But you would have liked my dad. He was quiet. He'd in a room, especially in a room this size, or even a room with 10 or 15 people, it wouldn't be dad that was talking. I didn't get that trait from him. He was deaf in one ear from a sickness when he was two. So he was uncomfortable in a room. And that's, in a way, is why I'm so caring about some of y'all that struggle with your hearing. Because I grew up with a dad that struggled with his hearing. And so I do have some insight there. In even a small crowd or 10 or 12 people, if I was with him, he said, "Dad, get on my good ear side where I can hear." So he'd go, "Get on my good ear." But my dad was a loving father. He wasn't a perfect father, but I did have a stay-at-home present father. And out of everything I could say for my father, it was that he was just always there. He showed up. You know, I teach that 80-85% of being a good parent is just showing up and being there. It really is. Because it's difficult. It's we learn as we raise our kids, don't we? We learn as we go, and I know we've got lots of resources and books, but we learn as we go. So we always, my father was one that was always showed up, and I've always tried to show up for my children. Now, 20% of the time, you do have commitments to keep, but you teach them that. You teach them that dad can't be there. He has a commitment in the Lord or here or whatever. But my dad was always there. I was thinking, what is the most important thing, attributes, for men? What is the most important gift a man can leave his wife, his children, his grandchildren? It may tickle some of you, but I'm in legacy mode in my thinking. I mean, I've got a long time to minister, Lord willing, but I'm really thinking legacy, not just about my children, but for my flock, and especially the younger people. If you're here and you're under 40 or 50, I'm very passionate. I'm just as passionate for the 75-year-old senior, which y'all know that because you know me. But if I can give something to you that will touch your generation and the next generation, that's where I'm at right now, is I want to give you, and I'm still learning and growing, but I want to give you everything I can give you in the Lord so that you can grow and you can give it to somebody else. I think that's what fathers ought to be doing. So number one, the greatest gift a man can give his children or his friends or younger people or anybody for that matter is a real relationship. Our relationships with each other are very important, aren't they? So all my kids know me, and I know them. And you know what's fun lately, because all my kids are out of the house but one in Houston's finishing school, is now when we're together, they tell stories of all the things they got away with when they were little ones and we didn't catch them. Because they know they're not going to get in trouble now. So if you have little ones at home, I know you're the perfect parent, but wait till you get my age and you'll see. You don't know everything's going on. And so that's kind of fun now to hear those kind of things from my adult children. But it's important, guys, that not just with our kids, but that we form relationships with other men and other people. And I know even in a room this size, a man can feel alone. because we're kind of built that way. We're linear. Most of us men, not all, but most men do one thing really good at a time. That's why we can do one thing good and get that done, and do another thing good and get that done, and do another thing good and get that done. But if we have to do them all at the same time, we're not as good as the ladies in most cases. We're built, we're still built tough in a way, and we like to pretend that we can do it on our own. I said me and you like to pretend that we can do it on our own. You know, you see the guy that's pushing the cart, and my heart goes out to him. He's got all his belongings in the cart. He's hit bad times, and a lot of the time, because of behaviors of his own, he's still strutting down the street like somebody. I mean, but guys, we can't do it on our own. We need other men in our lives. Men that can pray for us, men that can stand with us, men that we can talk to. I'm getting ahead of my message. I can just skip that later. That's one gift I can give to my children, is make sure I can. Now I'm in a phase with them that if I don't stay in contact with them, our relationship doesn't get current, right? Y'all know some of those challenges. Some of you got lots of grandkids. That's one gift I can give to every man, is be a friend to a man and encourage him to find friends. Number two is the greatest gift I can give to my kids and other men is for me to love Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Guys, every father in the house, listen to me. Some of you have got little ones. The greatest gift you can give your family is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as yourself. I just touched on that. To love Jesus, to be a man of God, to walk with Christ. Can I get an amen? It's the greatest gift. So a relationship with people and a relationship with God is important. The scripture says in 1 Timothy 2:8, and I'll read it, and it's one of only three scriptures I'm going to use today. I desire then that in every place, everywhere, whoops, every place. What does every place mean in the Greek? Say everywhere. I desire that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. It's important that what we do is open everywhere we go. That number one, that our love for Christ, people shouldn't have to guess. Now, we don't want to be pharisaical, but they should never have to guess that we love Jesus. Right? They should never have to guess about our character, because when you're walking with Christ, you're walking according to the Word of God. They should never have to guess about our ability to love, our ability to forgive. They should never have to guess that we are openly committed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. We're not going to be ashamed of the gospel. Men, you know why? We have a good, good Father that loves us. Jesus loves you today. Ladies, Jesus loves you today. We have a good, good Father, Father God, that loves us, cares for us. We don't have to be ashamed of Him. He's not ashamed of us. And this morning, you don't have to carry shame. Listen, don't carry shame because you didn't have a good stay-at-home dad. I know I've been asking God for weeks, heal hearts, make our hearts whole, heal the wounds that maybe some of our earthly fathers inflicted. Some of you don't even know who your dad is, and it's been very, very painful. Well, I'm telling you, we have a good, good Father. His name also is Jesus Christ. He's made known by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what you missed in an earthly father, he will exceed your expectations. But I'm telling you as your father this morning that I believe in you, that God has got great things for you, that his plans are for you, yes and amen, that he has a future for you. There's open doors of opportunity for you. There's blessing for you, men and women. That's what daddies do. And I pray blessings on you and favor with man and favor favor with God and favor with others. I've been praying for you men and women that God would close those doors you don't need to go through, but he would open wide those doors of opportunity for you. I'm just a conduit, but as a father, I'm telling you, he believes in you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's got your back. He holds your future. That's who your father is. That's who your daddy is. Ooh, notes are going everywhere. He sees you. And yes, I believe in the conviction of sin. And yes, I still misbehave and need to practice confession like you. But your father, irregardless of your behavior, listen to me, is his motive is not to beat you up. His motive is not to beat you down. He loves you when you're bad. He loves you when you're good. He loves you when you succeed. He loves you when you think you're not very successful. But I'm telling you, your heavenly Father loves you. You know the notes are gone when I took my glasses off because I'm blind as a bat. Let him in. Let him in today. Let him touch your heart. Let him touch your mind. Let him heal your wounds. Let him be the father he wants to be to you. See, some of y'all are carrying the guilt from your father's sins. It's not your fault. Some of you were abandoned. It's not your fault. It wasn't you. Many of you were victimized. He's watching. He's watching. And the heart cry of every man and every woman. And y'all know that I'm on the National Men's Leadership Team for the Assemblies of God, and I'm the National Arizona Men's Director. So obviously I've been pretty passionate about it for a long time, but in the heart and the soul of every man and a woman is a huge hole that only a father can meet the need. We know about the huge hole that only Jesus can fill, right? And in that hole, everybody that sits in this room, ever will sit in this room, ever has sit in this room, in that spot, in your spirit and in your soul, and in your mind and in your heart, there's a cry that goes out from every man and woman that ever walked the earth that says, "Watch me, Daddy." You say, "Well, we're grown men and we're grown women. Watch me, Daddy." The littlest toddler wants to get attention, right? They get so old, they want Daddy to watch. They want Daddy to see. They want Daddy to pat them on the back. They want Daddy to discipline when they need them, even though they won't admit it then. Because discipline, biblical discipline, is an expression of God's love through his word. There's many hearts, male and female, here this morning that says, "I just always wanted my dad to show up for the school program or the ball game or this or my church activity." And it's because in every heart, we said, "Dad, I want you to be there. I want you to watch me. Just be sitting in the stands. Just show up most of the time." And I understand that it's a sensitive thing for me to stand up here and talk about it, but I'm telling you, there's a Father in heaven that's watching you this morning. His eyes are on the sparrow and his eyes are on you, and that heart cry that's been going out for you, let your heart go up to him. Let your heart go up to heaven. Daddy's watching. Daddy's watching. He's in the stands and he's cheering for you and he's on your side and he's proud of who you are. because you're his son, you're his daughter, you're his children, and you're down here running, and you're down here fighting, and you're doing all you do, and daddy's got it. Daddy's watching. Whew. When daddy's watching, you can run a little faster. When you know daddy's watching, you can try a little longer. When daddy's watching, it does something for you. If you just get a hold of that, the father's watching you. The father's watching you. The father's watching you. We need daddy to watch. He's a good, good father. I get home. I'm just being open with you. This will not be a very well put together message because it's all on the table. So if you're looking for a proper 3-point, and it's not going to happen today. It's a really good message up there. I'm not preaching. You won't hear me. I don't know if I should even say it. I'm not preaching. I'm prophesying. You won't hear me say that 5 times in my lifetime. So I'm prophesying, you can figure it out. But I'm telling you, God's speaking this morning. He loves you. He cares about you. He's on your side. He's got it if you'll give your heart to him. He knows what your past has been like and how beat up you've been. He's here to heal you. He's here to heal your heart. He's here to lift you up. He's here to cheer you on. He's got it. He wants you. He loves you. He cares about you. And at any age, you need a touch from God this morning. He's here. A good, good father. You say, well, I never had a role model that was present. He's here every 24/7. He stays with you. You say, well, the culture is so corrupt. They lie at work. They tell this, they tell that. Our God, our Father, is not corrupt at all. There's no corruption in him, the scripture says. He's good. His heart is pure. His motive for you is pure, even when he has to discipline you. You said, but I've failed. It's not just the fact, Dale, that I didn't have that background that maybe you had, but I've failed God over and over and over. Men, let me come back to men. Men tend to feel like failures. We don't act like it, but we tend to feel like it. If you thought you were going to come to church today and get beat up, typically I've noticed over the years, and you know, we tell the ladies how great they are and we get the guys here and beat them to a pulp. And we need to be the men of God he's called us to be. And I'm not talking about compromising. We need to live the word of God by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Never, ever we to compromise the word of God. But so many times, guys, we feel like we're failures. Sometimes we feel like we'll never be a good enough dad. We'll never be a good enough husband. I'll never be a good enough grandfather. I'll never work good enough. And we go into this performance mode. And that's true for ladies. Then the enemy comes in and says, you'll always be a failure. Every time you make a mistake. How many made a mistake this past week? Male or female? Don't be bashful. Let me see your hands. I don't have enough hands. You're never going to be good enough. He's good enough. I know what I'm thinking. I know what I'm feeling. I know what I've experienced. I don't know how to communicate it. I hope I can communicate it. Jesus is good enough. Jesus in you is good enough. Run the good race. Fight the good fight. Do the very best you can. Do the very best you can. Lean into God every day because you know you need Him. You know His grace is sufficient and His power will be made perfect in your weakness. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said that. Realize how much you need Him every day, that you can't walk for a minute without Him. But when you fail, quit beating yourself up. When you fail, get back on your feet, get back to the cross, get back to confession. Say, God, I did it. But don't let, when you fail, let the enemy pulverize your self-esteem till you're nothing. Because the enemy likes to get us when we're down and we've made a mistake and we made a failure, and the enemy wants to pound. You'll never be this. You'll never be that. It'll never work. They'll never change. You'll never change. It's never going to happen. You're just like your father. I've heard them all. And when the enemy says, and you failed, Pastor Dale, and I said, you know what? I talk to the devil every now and then. The scripture teaches us that we can submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I use the name of Jesus a lot when I talk to him. In Jesus' name, devil. And sometimes I tell him, when I've had a little gat in the flesh, and he says, you failure, you failure, you failure. And I, wherever he is, I say, devil, you're right. I am a failure. Devil, you're right. I still fail. Devil, you're right. I'm still going to make mistakes. But devil, in Jesus' name, I'm not your son. I'm not your daughter. Devil, when I fail, God picks me up. Devil, when I'm weak, the grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient for me. Devil, he's got my future. Devil, he's forgiven my past. And you're right, devil, I'm a failure. But Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. He's a good, good, good Father. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Give the Father glory. Give the Father glory. Give the Father glory. Jesus. Jesus, you're so good. Oh, we don't need that one. We don't want that one. Some of y'all preaching on Wednesday night, there's a pretty good message there, but you ain't going to preach in 15 minutes. They have to preach in a 15-minute clock. I put them on the timer. Oh, Jesus. You feel Him in you, touching your heart? Ooh. We're going to teach on the Holy Spirit the next 2 weeks, but I'd rather just Him be here like He is this morning, even teach, huh? He's here. He's here. He's manifest. The Holy Spirit will show you manifold. Ephesians talks about that, revelations of who the Father is. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is manifesting as Father this morning, healer, comforter. There's three levels in our relationships that I talk about often. It's one at a first level I call casual. Some call it acquaintance. All these levels are important. It's important to have relationships in all these areas. But a casual is we're friends that go shooting. We're friends that The guy that cuts my hair has been doing it for 5 years. We're friends. You hear what I'm saying? It's a neighbor who maybe you help every now and then, but you don't really know that well. You know what I'm talking about? And we need those. We have lots, quite a few of those, probably more of those than any other kind of relationship. But, you know, it's as far as content, you know, that doesn't go very deep. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Those are good. Every one of these are good. There's not a bad one. Then there's the level two. Some call it companionship. Inside the church, I call it ministry, where we're team. We're like, you know, the Three Musketeers. I don't know why I thought of the Three Musketeers, but, man, together they were awesome. You know, they could take care of business together, couldn't they? But it's about team. It's about your ministry teams. It's about doing ministry together. They're a little deeper in content because you're doing something for the Lord or you're doing something. Could be work, you know. Of course, you call that companionship or team. But they go a little deeper. You may share hobbies together, jobs together, ministries together, clubs together, all those different things. And then there's level three, which some call intimate friendships. I call them missional friendships. And honestly, and it's okay. See, some of you that haven't had friends or you've been, you don't have over five of those at any given time in a lifetime. Well, that's okay. Jesus had 12 disciples and he had three in an inner circle. Jesus himself. So you have casual relationships, which usually has dozens and dozens of people in it. Then you have ministry relationships, and they are wonderful things that we're doing together. We have so many great ministry teams. See you Tuesday night at 6:30. See you Saturday at 8. But then you have those missional relationships, and that's those people that you can go heart to heart with. You can go deep with. You can tell them what's on your heart. They can tell you what's on their heart. And it's true. You're going to have one to three, one to five of those relationships in your life at any given time. What I'm trying to teach you is we need all those relationships to be healthy, even in Christ. And sometimes those categories change. People that were in my inner circle 20 years ago, there's different ones in that circle today. Some have stayed in it all along. It's where you can have those conversations and there's self-disclosure. Somebody you can be accountable to. Now, men like to make it tough. I'm going to hold you accountable. It's not like that. Not really. It's like, hey, we're going to be accountable to one another. I'm going to open my heart, and you're going to open your heart. And I could teach on that for a while, and I'm almost done, truly. But if it's one way, you're not in that kind of relationship. It took me a long time to learn that. I was taught that, and I was even teaching that. If you're doing all the giving and you're not getting any of the receiving, you're probably in more of a ministry relationship, an acquaintance relationship, or a casual relationship. And those are okay. But we all need somebody. We all need somebody that we have a missional relationship with. Those people, you could use the phrase, people you would die for, people that would die for you. I want to challenge you this morning as we wrap up and get ready for the communion. As men and women, develop a relationship with your Heavenly Father that goes beyond church. It's a daily walk. Men, find somebody you can talk to and somebody that can talk to you. Ladies, do the same. Find somebody that will listen. Find somebody that will encourage. And lastly, show up for somebody else. Be a good listener. Be there. Men, show up for your wife. Show up for your kids. Show up for your church. Show up for your friends. Show up at work. But show up. You see, Jesus when he went to Calvary, I just blew all my notes up. Was on a mission. And his mission was, even while we were yet sinners, he died for us. As he went to that cross and paid the price for our sins. Jesus showed up when it mattered the most. And Jesus is still showing up for you today. Amen. Let's pray. Worship team, come.